Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Hello, and welcome back to Marvel DC Kings, a Four Midwest Guys production, a show devoted to the fans of the Marvel DC TV cinematic universes, devoted to recapping the shows you love or love to hate. I'm your host, Ankin Bauer. With me today is Willenbrink.
What is going on?
Not much, man, and Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to cover. This is episode 6 of the Marvel DC Kings.
Volume 6.
What?
No.
He said Chewbacca.
Yeah, Chewbacca, what? Where? So we'll start off talking about the Civil War.
Okay.
Which is the next big movie coming out for the comics, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's going to live to the hype?
Actually, yeah, I kind of do. The worst Marvel can really do at this point is fall into being too formulaic. But more or less, they are still kind of have those points they want to hit in every film. They kind of have an idea of like what their fans are reacting to. And don't get me wrong, it's still going to be slightly formulaic. You are going to see certain points be hit. But if they kind of can perfect it and they can add to it, it might, you know, be perfecting the formula rather than just kind of falling into routine.
Yep. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, to me, this might as well be Avengers 3, really. I know Avengers 3 is going to be the Infinity War, but this basically is Avengers 3. I
mean, you essentially have the entire cast, if not actually more, because you even have Ant-Man.
Right.
You have, they're introducing Black Panther, whose suit looks amazing so far. And then you also are including Spider-Man, so you're including, like, the property that Sony kind of got a hold of for years. And
right. So, to me, it might as well be Avengers 3. I mean, it really is, except you have... two sets of Avengers, and they're fighting each other.
Yep.
Again, through the movie. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. I don't see how this movie can go wrong just from the trailers I've seen so far. I don't hear a lot of negative comments out there right now.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to. I think it's big reason is because it's Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel has a track record, and they're not DC.
Yeah.
Because I think that was the big problem with Batman v Superman before it even came out was the fact that it wasn't Marvel. And almost everybody, when they were doing their comparisons, compared it to Marvel movies.
Well,
even though it's done in a different fashion.
DC is definitely going a different route than the Marvel is. But Marvel's kind of been out there for years. It's created its brand. Like, it has its following. People are going to it knowing what to expect.
Right, exactly. Like you said, they're very formulaic. They're 25 seconds in, one-liner. You know.
Yeah, you kind of have that.
There's always that comedy
every 2
aspect.
Minutes, yes. One-liner sort of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
There's a one-liner from you, one-liner from you. Oh, that's a jab. Oh, that's a jab. Oh, there's a one-liner. It's constant going.
Yeah, it likes to cut the tension a little.
Right,
bit.
Right. Very, very.
To be honest, I think you can make the argument Age of Ultron did that a little too heavily, though.
Yeah, I think they tried to go with a deeper tone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very hard to do.
Honestly, Spader kind of let me down on that one.
Really? I actually liked his role.
I didn't like him as Ultron. Really,
I actually think he did really
not
good.
Not to
as
get
that.
Into a debate on
that. I don't
know.
That, that's fine, but yeah. I thought he did fine with it.
No, I didn't. I didn't really care for Spader. So. I like Spader a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Blacklist fan. But yeah, Ultron just was lacking.
All right. Well, we're going to have a special coming out for Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can tune into that. Check our podcast channel and YouTube channel for that one when it comes out. The next thing to talk about today, Disney star. I don't know if she's still a star there or a former star. Anyway.
I think with Disney, you're kind of on an elevator system.
We'll say former star. Bella Thorne, who was in Shake It Up Chicago and all those other kind of shows.
As someone without children, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I do because I have a 10-year-old and she used to watch that kind of stuff all the time. But she wants to play a female version of Deadpool.
So she wants to go for the Gwenpool.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think? Do you think...
I don't know enough about the actress to really comment on her ability to it. In terms of Gwenpool as an actual film, it could be okay, but I feel like you're kind of overlapping too heavily with the actual, like, Deadpool franchise. Like, I think it would work better maybe as a cameo within, like, one of the Deadpool films or the X-Force films.
That's what I was going to say. That I could see it as a cameo more so than I could see it as a full feature film.
Well, also, just, like, as a character, like, the female Deadpools or Gwenpool or Lady Deadpool or whatever variant you want to talk about there, like, they're not really highly developed characters to the same extent. Like, you do have a couple runs of the Gwenpool comic, but it's not really a lot at the moment.
The problem I have with this is I only know the Disney version of this actress.
No kidding.
It's very hard to see that product in a Deadpool outfit.
At the same time, the two
universes do not match at all. So,
in her defense, I understand the idea because that's the Disney model. After they grow up past a certain point, is transition to the extreme, right?
Like, well, yeah.
You have
Hannah Montana.
Go to the Miley Cyrus route. You have Beeb go from one version to another. I don't know if he counts as a Disney star, but fuck it, he might as well.
Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, it does seem to be the model is like. Once you hit a certain age, it's like, no, go the other way. Run.
Right. You're not a kid star anymore. Go rogue.
Otherwise, you're going to be in that role forever.
Right.
Well, this
would definitely be the opposite role for her.
Yeah. And then that would be... Deadpool would be much better than Miley Cyrus's.
So, yeah. I'm going to say I don't want to see it. Brian, no, yes, no?
No.
Okay, Aaron?
It might be interesting as a cameo, but I wouldn't enjoy it as a standalone film, I don't think. I could be wrong on that, but that'd be my assumption.
Okay, one quick note going with that Deadpool thing. Deadpool digital release got pushed up to April 26th, and the Blu-ray will be released May 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got pushed up a whole month earlier, right?
Yeah, something close to that.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is, not to bring up Star Wars, but I think they're following off the Force Awakens success of
Awakens do that sort of same model?
Yeah, it was very early. It was only, it was out 4 months, and they decided to put it out on,
Part of my thinking with something like that is maybe it's just you have that transition from theater to, like, DVD experiences much faster now.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to have the DVD and digital release out before you kind of lose the hype or momentum of it to a certain extent.
Well, sure, yeah. And that's what they did with The Force Awakens, and it, you know.
That might be a better model as we're moving forward, though. Like, it... These sort of things might just have kind of a faster time frame being rolled out.
Well, I can tell you, when I went to buy The Force Awakens Blu-rays, they were... they had a ton of them, but they were almost sold out. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I got there at, like, noon that day, and it was just from the morning.
Right, yeah. Morning rush.
Yeah.
All right, moving into something else. Let's talk about... Disney Marvel has pulled Inhumans from its release date of July 2019.
Oh, boy.
You know, this could be the restructuring... push it back farther, or it could be some are speculating that because they anticipate the Spider-Man series franchise is going to take off, and it might take up that slot. The project was probably the least anticipated of Marvel's upcoming movies, if you look all the way down the line. And, I mean, they tried to make it a presence in S.H.I.E.L.D., but even looking at that, I mean, it's 2016... The Inhumans are there. That movie wasn't coming out for 3 more years.
Yeah, so it would have had 3 years on S.H.I.E.L.D. to kind of hype it up.
Yeah.
You think that might have been part of the reason, like, it didn't get, like, the same reception they wanted, like, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that kind of affected, like,
it could have been. I think what has happened, I think they're completely scrapping the movie idea and that the Inhumans are going to stay strictly on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm. And if there is, we might see the Inhumans pop up in, like, Infinity War or something like that.
Like, you're not expecting it to be like a spin-off show down the line or anything like that?
Correct.
Actually, I'm a little bit more cynical here. I'm actually think this may be bad for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think this leaves Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wide open. Up to this point, the announcement of an Inhumans movie, in my mind, has always kept Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've scrapped it or pushed it back, we don't know right now. To me, that says... they're not willing to invest in the TV series for 3 more years. So
that would be like the main hype vehicle for
that would have been the whole build. S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to build up Inhumans for the movie. So now with that off the table, that leaves, we know they're getting a third season, but beyond that, now that leaves that door wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be a season 4 or 5 or 6? Probably not. In my opinion. I don't know. Hopefully I'm wrong because I really like the show, but I'm just saying. So,
That's a fair point. I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been running for how many years now? Three or four?
We're on just finishing season two. Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I thought we were on season three.
Season three.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive, because I don't think we had... Ward didn't go full row the first season, did he?
I don't think so. Yeah, but I don't know if I got all the season.
Whatever Winter Soldier was season one. So.
But yeah, I mean, on the other hand, the inclusion of Spider-Man being technically part of the Marvel Universe again could play a large role in that. You could include the Sinister Six sort of films for...
And I'm hoping that's all it is. I'm hoping that S.H.I.E.L.D. is fine, and like Brian was saying, it's just going to stay on S.H.I.E.L.D.
But yeah. Or if we're going back to Civil War, apparently the Spider-Man of that film has been well-reviewed in a lot of the early reviews. So that could be kind of good speculation for where they might want to continue that. Because really, before Marvel sold it off, Spider-Man was one of Marvel's like biggest comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to kind of run that franchise more deeply... or have, you know, greater control over it, I really wouldn't blame them at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Speaking of Spider-Man, big news for the Spider-Man movie, they just signed Robert Downey Jr. to play Iron Man.
Yeah, apparently one of the benefits for the Sony-Marvel crossover is that it does allow certain characters to kind of transition back and forth. So I guess either in exchange for Spider-Man being in the Civil War film or just as part of a mutual opportunity sort of thing... they allowed Iron Man to be in the Homecoming film.
Right, so I'm wondering, do you think that the Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be pre-Civil War or post-Civil War?
I would assume post.
I will actually go the other way. I think it might be a prequel, because obviously we see in the trailer that Tony's the one that introduces Spider-Man to the other side.
Oh, okay. So you think it's a thing like where that's the story of how Spider-Man meets Iron Man at some point.
Maybe Iron Man helps develop Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they go with the version like where the web-slingers are actually a piece of technology rather than like an actual biological function, that would make sense.
Something, because to me, we know the origin story. We've done the origin story in the movies twice now.
So, I kind of hope they don't do it again for Homecoming, to be honest.
So the only way to make this interesting is to throw in somebody else. And Iron Man, to me, is awesome. That would make me want to go see another Spider-Man origin story.
Well, yeah, but...
Well, I think this is Marvel's version of Batman. They're like, we're not sure how this movie's going to do, so we're going to throw an Iron Man. Oh, that movie? Oh, yeah, we'll throw an Iron Man in that movie, too. Oh, this is a Captain America movie? Yeah, throw an Iron Man. He's a big seller for us. Kind of the way that...
He sells the toys.
Yeah, kind of the way they're doing with Batman. It's like, we're going to make a Man of Steel 2. Let's throw in Batman just in case, yeah.
What's that, Wonder Woman film? How are you going to fit Batman in a Wonder Woman film?
And I actually think Suicide Squad. Oh, I'll throw a Batman in that one too. And
all the reshoots, just more Batman.
Yeah, yeah. And I really, to be honest, the more I read about the upcoming Flash movie, I really think they're going to do Flashpoint. And I really think that's basically based off Batman. I mean, it's not going to be the same Batman, but it's going to be, you know, that alternate universe is Batman, which is Thomas Wayne, which will be whatchamacallit.
The mom's the Joker, essentially. Yeah.
So, I mean...
Just wait for the Green Lantern film. Not only is there going to be three Green Lanterns, there's going to be a Batman Green Lantern.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at some of the most more animated stuff recently, Batman is in those movies.
They've been very heavily focused on Batman, yes.
With Green Lantern. Because, like, those two, even in, what was it, War?
Yeah.
War starts out that way, where it's Batman and Green Lantern and... I don't know.
Then you have, like, what was it? Was it Batman, Bad Blood, or something like that, where it's a very heavily Batman-focused one? I think the last three DC's release are pretty heavily Batman, plus you have the Lego Batman coming out.
Right, so I think maybe Iron Man is Marvel's version of Batman, like, as far as selling points for movies. You know, going along the same lines, you know, talking about the other superhero stuff, there's a rumor going around for the new... that. Green Lantern Corps.
Mm.
They're talking about three.
Yeah.
Having three of them. We were trying to decide which one, who's going to be in it, which one's going to be.
Yeah, it looks like...
And here's going to have three of them.
There was a site that was reporting a rumor that they are not only going to have Hal Jordan, but they are going to also include John as well as Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, John Stewart.
Time. Yeah,
John Stewart and yeah, Kyle Rayner. Well, they do all exist at the same time.
Yeah, and thank God they're not going for Guy Gardner. That's a good choice on their part.
Yeah.
But yeah, it actually looks like they're going with more a Green Lantern Corps sort of thing, where it's actually looking at the entire thing. And I think how the one site was reporting is they almost want to make it kind of buddy cop-ish, which might be a weird route to take with it, but it might work. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope it's more... To be honest, I really like the Ryan Reynolds one. It needed better storyline with it.
Yeah.
But I thought what they did with certain parts was awesome. Especially when they went back to the home planet with the Watchers and everything. It was just like,
I feel like there's a lot better storylines they could have gone with it. I feel like they rushed it a lot because, really, Green Lantern, out of all the DC comics, has probably one of the most expansive mythologies and universe kind of to it on its own. And it really had, if they took the time, they could have developed into like a really large franchise within DC's films.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I feel like, yeah, they kind of rushed it on the storyline a bit. But in terms of acting, Reynolds didn't do bad, nor did any actor really come across like they did poorly on it.
Right. Something that didn't have him do rather poorly, Doctor Strange came out with its trailer.
Yeah.
Its TV trailer.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. It looks amazing.
Awesome.
Now, do you guys think it was awesome, or do you think it looked like Inception?
I actually don't, no.
Really?
No.
Now, even with the world folding in on itself, way Inception did?
No, I really just kind of looked like it was taking kind of a different magical approach to its universe and like how its perception of reality.
Because Nolan said, it's nice to see that I made it into the...
Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe.
Hey, I'm cool with it. Do a... superhero version of Inception, I'm cool with that.
Although not knowing anything about Doctor Strange, I will say that this teaser trailer definitely gets me to want to see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it definitely looks interesting. Like, I've never been, or I haven't really gotten to any of the Doctor Strange comics too heavily.
Yeah,
I've seen the character in passing more than anything.
I've actually seen more, like, DC's version, which would be Doctor Fate.
Yeah.
I know more about him than I do about Strange, to be honest, so...
But at the same time, this is kind of the big introduction of, like, the magical elements into the DC Universe. I mean, you might have a bit of that with Iron Fist, but probably not as heavily.
Marvel.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I said DC, didn't I?
I screwed you up with Fate. That's my part.
It's all good. But, yeah, it looks really interesting. And Cumberbatch's accent at parts is throws you off a little bit, but otherwise it looks like it should be really good.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Another big announcement in the movie world, Justice League.
Mm.
William Dafoe has signed on to be in the Justice League.
I'm
hearing he's going to be a villain.
No, they announced he's going to be a good guy in it. Is he? Yeah. They're announcing him as a good guy.
Who's the good guy? Did they give him a name yet?
No, they're not saying what character he's going to be, just that they're expecting him to be a positive character. Which is weird because you look at William Dafoe's history and he does villain really, really well.
He does Goblin really well.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, I really have a hard time seeing him as being a good guy.
Yeah.
Until we actually see it, I think it's just a smokescreen so nobody thinks he's a villain.
So pretty much it's like, yeah, he'll be a good guy.
Exactly. I really think he's going to be a bad guy, though.
But
I hear he's not the only one that they signed, right? Justice League?
Oh, you're talking about Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they casted J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
And in the mortal words of Kylo Ren, traitor!
Yeah, that's what they're saying to both of them.
I don't believe that was Kylo Ren.
they both came over from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
For the Spider-Man franchise, assigned with Justice League. So I'm looking forward to that.
Do you think they'll have, like, similar dynamics? Like, they'll more or less be playing the similar kind of parts?
I don't know.
Dafoe goes to there to be the new villain. Simmons goes over there to be kind of a cranky commissioner instead of a cranky journalist.
Gordon is a completely different than...
He definitely is.
The head of the paper.
He should be, anyway.
But...
I just want pictures. Don't arrest anybody. Give me pictures.
He was awesome.
I need evidence of Batman.
And J.K. Simmons is an awesome actor, so I think he'll do Gordon just fine. But.
Didn't they... oh, no. I'm thinking of someone else. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go into the TV world. Are you guys all caught up on Flash?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the latest episode is actually, come to find out, the episode that coincides with Supergirl.
Yes.
And that happened, a month back?
Yeah, you know, it's like 2 or 3 weeks removed. This is actually the episode that coincides with Supergirl. However, they don't even mention it in this episode.
No. He just goes, "I'm back."
Yeah, and we know because we're watching his outfit and we see the tachyon device on his chest and we're like, "That's the one from Supergirl."
Yeah.
And he comes back, but he doesn't mention anything to Sister or anybody.
It added nothing to his storyline.
He goes, "I'm back. How long was I gone?"
And they don't. They just keep going.
And they just like walk right over it. Like talk about plot holes being just covered. Like, huh?
Yeah, there's like we don't know what CBS was doing with that, so we're just going to jump over that.
Yeah. So
they just keep talking.
Yeah, and Cisco's he's like, "I'm back. How long was I gone?" He's like, he goes, "Just a brief second. You just broke the blah 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 blah." Then it's like. What?
Yeah, I gotta be honest. This last episode of Flash, I'm not impressed with the writing on this last one.
Really?
Yeah, I
actually thought it was still fine.
Okay, he takes Wally. He gives Wally back. You don't have to give him shit. They just go ahead and do it.
Well, the idea would assume is that he's still fast enough to just catch up if he needs to.
No. He drains all his speed after they get Wally back. They've got a gun. Shoot it.
but he's faster than the gun, though. Zoom is faster than everything.
But
And I think what they were trying to show is the Flash and how...
I know, honor and all that.
Honor and morals and everything else. That
but, bullshit. You got a chance to take him down? Take him down. I couldn't get it past it. I totally got stuck right there, and I couldn't go any further.
So more or less, it was like watching a video game. It was like, no, I want to do that thing.
No, it was just like... What the fuck are you doing? No.
He's right there.
He's right there.
You have a gun pointed at him.
The Flash is now just as fast as him. You faster. Have a gun. He's faster. Take him out. No, I'm going to give you my Flash speed because I'm honorable. Fuck honor. Just take him out. I don't know.
Sorry. Fair enough.
Sorry. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, so with this episode, we do find out who Zoom is. We find out that he is Hunter Zolomon, the psychopath from the other world.
Well, I actually
thought... didn't understand that it was him, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because he looks the same as Jay Gerd or whoever.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like...
Also, they went out of their way to say, like, it was a big media story because, you know, serial killers are rare in that universe.
Yeah.
Which means he was probably all over the papers.
Yeah, it's like, how did you not know? And then, like, even when he comes back into this world, apparently he can go through worlds on his own.
Well, the one thing that was a little weird...
He needs Verb to do it. The other version of
because he came right back and he's like you can't hold the darkness.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little weird part. I wasn't quite sure.
He went straight black eye.
Yeah, I thought that was kind
and
of
he
cool,
went back but... and forth between the worlds.
Well, it was kind of a cool moment, but I didn't quite understand like how it got to that point.
Because if you look, when he's holding Wally West,
yeah, it's back in his home.
It's back in his home world.
Yeah,
and Vibe didn't open anything for him to go back. And then he comes back once he says, "I'll tell him you're here. He can sense me." He's like, "We'll do the deal."
Yeah, there's some right weird back. Thing there that kind of got skipped over, yes. Like in terms of storyline.
Well, I think the whole I just assumed that the portal was still open that he opened.
Like, that's a possibility.
Close back up.
Well, I don't think so because he said
either that or maybe it's like a weakened part or some shit.
Maybe because he sensed it was opening and he ran to it. He said,
right.
"Come all the way, Cisco. Come all the way." Like, open it. And then as soon as Cisco did open it on his end, yes, he jumped right through.
Right. And I just assumed that he left it open.
But then you watched it close behind him.
Did it close?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as far as the graphics did, I don't know if, like, the the invisible field or whatever is
one there thing that I think the storyline did really well in this was, like, kind of the backstory for Hunter Zolomon. Like, kind of, like, showing him as a kid thing and, like, his dad just going, like, ape shit. And, that was a really cool kind of, like, character development
part. I really liked that with, put this on, and everything. And
you're going to want to watch this.
Yeah, you saw the whole thing happen. And then I really don't understand how they got life-size cutouts of his parents
in the world
because how that happened. But regardless.
Yeah, that was a little odd, but...
Barry goes up his force speed.
Yeah, and that was also not a direction I was expecting to take. I was expecting him to jump back in time and, like, prevent him from, like, experiencing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And no, it was like, we're going with life-out cutout to distract you. He was like, really?
And then he gets him with that electrical charge that's supposed to stop him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and he's like, oh, blah, you beat me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he stands up and he's like, you can't stop the darkness. And just kind of vibrates out of it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
There were
really cool parts about this episode, but they're very weak writing. in my
opinion. Yeah, it jumped over a couple plot holes, admittedly. Yeah.
And then at the very end, the cliffhanger for the episode or whatever was he took Caitlin Snow.
Yeah, and it was
okay.
It was, in Flash really doesn't usually do this as far as like plot holes, but yeah, this one was the writing I thought was just a little weaker.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love the graphics. I love him running through the attack at speed and saying I can go faster, and then you know just watching like
finally
it felt like an awesome episode, and then they even made the tachyon.
Yeah, they actually built it into his icon.
And they said, you'll never know it's there. So now he doesn't have to wear the big metal piece.
Yeah. I think that's how he's going to keep some speed going forward.
Well, I think they showed that in the next episode in the trailer.
I haven't caught the trailer yet.
And I think what's going to happen is Barry's going to have to build his force speed back up.
Yeah.
I think it's how they're going to do it.
He uses the tachyon part.
Because they even said... You have enough for two hits or something, but after that you're a pinata.
The ship can only take two hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think you're going to see some version of like a mechanical Flash with Wally. That's just my opinion.
A mechanical Flash?
Yeah. Like a suit that goes fast. Built by Wally.
Or a Flash car.
Because he's this big engineer and he's into speed.
I think that's how he's going to become Wally West. Because he is Flash. Wally West is Flash.
He becomes
and
Flash.
And we even saw his city. When the Flash was running real fast, and he stands in front, it says future home of whatever city that was. Yeah. I can't remember what city that was. But that's actually the same city where Wally West is from.
Where I think the contrast is going to be, at least this is where I think they're going. This is just my personal opinion. Whereas Barry's is bio, I think Wally's is going to be more mechanical driven.
Yeah, I think it'll be mechanical / Velocity 9 or Velocity 10 or whatever.
Right, with...
Variant of other technology-based thing.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you guys watch Supergirl?
No.
Okay, so I'll go over real fast.
Okay.
The show sucked.
That makes sense.
I watched the whole first season because I said I was gonna give it a whole first season. You know, DC hasn't done much bad stuff.
But
TV is usually where DC does really strongly on a lot of their projects, and I had to power through every episode I watched of Supergirl, and it didn't pick up.
No, it didn't.
I think to the crossover episode, and I want to power through the rest of the season, but like I haven't gotten to it, and it hasn't shown anything to where I feel like there's going to be any payout.
Let me tell you right now, there was zero payout at the end. There was even the cliffhanger wasn't even a cliffhanger. I mean, it was just it totally dropped the ball. The best episode by far was probably the crossover event, and even that was kind of sketchy.
I actually thought that was weak for me, just because it showed like where it like fell short so often.
And that's what I'm saying. And for me, it was just because the Flash was on there.
Yeah,
I think is why I liked it so much. But that was probably the best episode.
Yeah,
there was a good battle scene in the finale, where you had Nan and the Brainiac chick and Martian
Indigo.
Martian Manhunter and Kara, all fighting.
Yeah.
That was kind of...
Did the wire stunts look any better?
They looked much better than that.
Okay.
So if that's an indication for next season, then maybe...
Yeah.
But there was a lot of other things that was wrong with it. So that jail that fell, right, came from the Phantom Zone that let all the things out.
Yeah.
Kara pushed it up into space, but then passed out because she couldn't breathe in space.
Superman does it all the time.
Yeah. Plus, closer she gets to the sun, the stronger she should get.
Right. Because you're not having an atmosphere blocking radiation.
But she didn't. She went into space, and then as she pushed out of space, she loses consciousness.
But the thing's still flying.
It was one of those, like, okay. And then we see Superman finally. We see Superman. Oh, no, wait. We just see his boots, and he's laying unconscious on a table. What?
Seriously?
Yeah. Because apparently, even though the mind control device that they set in motion on Supergirl, and it controlled the entire human population, and didn't affect the Martian population, so it didn't affect Supergirl, it didn't affect Martian Manhunter, but it affected Superman, because Superman has spent so much time on Earth that he's kind of gotten human qualities that allowed him to be manipulated.
That's a shit storyline.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know, every time I watch Supergirl, like, part of me is like, this show would have done so much better on a different network.
Yes, yes.
And like, this would have done better on Fox, which is weird.
Well, I don't know about Fox.
Yeah, I do.
It would have. Like, no, I'm wrong. Fox has messed up a lot of shows, but it would have at least done the storyline decent for a season.
If they did it like Gotham, it would be 10 times better.
Yeah. But anyway, so the finale...
Don't wrong, CW would be better, HBO, TNT, something.
Right, so we're watching the final episode, right? She just beats the big bads from this season. They're all in the apartment celebrating, right? And her and, who's the camera guy?
Oh, that's James, right?
Yeah. What's the last name? It's the main camera guy from Superman.
Yeah, I know who. Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen. Yeah. I'm like, I know what it is.
Yeah, because I'm not used to thinking of him as James. That's probably what's throwing me off.
So her and Jimmy Olsen, they get together.
Right? Okay.
So they're whatever. And then all of a sudden, they see a meteor coming through, what they think is a meteor, right? And they're like, oh, what is it? So Martian Manhunter and Supergirl go fly out to see what it is. It's a pod, just like the one that her and Superman came in, right?
Okay.
And they show the pod.
Okay. Is it Crypto?
She walks up to the pod. Martian Manhunter says, watch yourself. You don't know what's in there. And the pod opens. And we're looking up from the bottom of the pod, so we see Kara looking into it. Uh-huh. But we don't see anything in it. No indication of what's in it. And she says, no way. And that's the end of the season. So there's nothing that says what it is.
So in other words, they're leaving it completely open because they're not sure what it is
yet. Yeah.
Completely open.
It's Crypto, the super dog.
Well, actually, Crypto is actually Superman's pet. Yeah. They're saying it's actually the cat. Because
I was really joking about being a
Supergirl
pet.
Supergirl actually has a cat who's a super cat.
Yeah, there was a shitty Cartoon Network show about
him. Yes, and they actually said, the writers from the show said they would love to work that into the show. But they didn't show it.
Really?
Yes. So it's anyway. Like
super pussy. Oh wait, sorry. Make that cat.
So what you're saying is we had the fill on the love triangles, but you know what would get our audience even better? Kittens.
Yeah, kittens. Kittens always work.
Meow 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 meow.
Can we add a unicorn here somewhere?
So since we're already talking about Superman. Mm-hmm. We're gonna jump topics here. Jump down a little farther in my list here.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about the new sci-fi pilot that I've ordered for Krypton for Superman's grandpa.
And IL or INL or whatever.
Whatever his name is, and you know, the series would focus on Superman's grandfather on Krypton at a time when the planet is being torn apart by chaos. He will struggle and fight to bring his family's name back to glory. After the humiliating fall of his House of El. The series is penned by David Goyer of Man of Steel, mm-hmm. Ian Goldberg of Once Upon a Time,
okay.
Sleepy Hollow vet Damian Kindler, he's set to run the show, and then also serve as an executive producer alongside Goyer.
All right, well, that's really dependent on what season of Sleepy Hollow we're talking about, because season one was good, and then Sleepy Hollow went downhill quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Sleepy Hollow is an okay show, mm-hmm. and I think the cliffhanger from this past season just completely just shot it, but that's beside the point. Yeah. But going along with that, they said the person who's going to direct the pilot is the person who does the Doctor Who Sherlock series for... is it BBC, I guess?
Yeah.
Colin McCarthy.
So, essentially, they put a lot of talent into the, like, pilot episode.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me.
Which is weird, because I'm not sure this needs to be made.
I'm kind of... Actually, I'll take the opposite opinion. I know you guys probably aren't as hyped, but there was talk after Man of Steel of doing a prequel, just about Jor-El. And I was like, yeah, it sounds kind of cool, but there's just not enough time to flush it out. So to put Krypton into an actual TV series and give it the time to flush it out and flush it out right, I think it could be a really good series if it's done right.
My main question is, like, what is, like, the genre of, like, show? Is it, like, a political drama? Is it a gladiator thing?
I think it's going to be action, and it's also going to have the political backdrop, maybe a little bit, not a lot.
Well, because, I mean, more or less, it's going to kind of play out like, say, like, Babylon 5 or something, right? Because more or less, you don't have superpowers on this planet.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, we do.
We don't know that yes, they have the Red Sun, but that doesn't mean we know they don't have Superman's powers, but we don't know they may have other powers. They have massive technology.
Oh, yeah, they have massive technology, but there's nothing that suggests that they have any abnormal powers on the planet.
We don't know that. We really don't.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying in terms of like comic backstory, there's nothing that suggests.
Okay, from the comic perspective, but from what I've seen in the movies, we don't know much other than we see Superman. All you see of Krypton is in Man of Steel, is an updated version of what you saw in the 80s.
You also see like the Avatar flying dragons and
right. Yeah,
you know. So,
but I mean, essentially,
it doesn't have to just be on Krypton. I mean, they obviously go out into space too.
Yeah,
so.
And at the same time, they're like. You can do an Avatar sort of like thing with it, but you might not work nearly as well like on a sci-fi TV show budget.
No, I agree. Sci-fi, I'm a little worried to being on sci-fi. I prefer this was on Fox or CW, I think would be HBO would be a great platform for it, but
I mean, you need the budget of something like HBO in order to do that.
Yeah,
really
a Game of Thrones budget would be awesome.
But at the same time, like, you'd have to have some really heavy-handed, like, political, or, like...
I think
you'd have to have some really great writers kind of fleshing that out.
I don't think it's going to be fleshed out. I think it's going to be fleshed down. Flesh down the dream.
We'll see. I like the idea, anyway. If it's really well-written, you can do a lot of...
I don't know, like...
You can hint at Superman, you can hint at...
You can't hint at Superman. That's two generations away.
Sure, yeah, but you can foreshadow it. You can foreshadow General Zod.
It's a twinkle in his eye.
you could foreshadow General Zod.
How?
Zod family. I don't know what house he's from. I forget. But
the House of Zod? I don't know.
I don't know. But you can do all that kind of stuff.
General was, you know, his...
And then they're going to say, they were best friends, the grandpas were. Now they're mortal enemies.
Or maybe they are enemies. I don't know.
You just see that, you know, the grandfather's generation, great-grandfather's generation.
Zod becomes a general.
Yeah.
We know Jor-El becomes a scientist.
Well, depending on what with the Man of Steel interpretation, they were born to those roles.
Yeah, I really hope I'm wrong, and I really hope it does do well, because I would like to see another superhero show. However, my DVR is getting kind of full. All these shows.
For me, this is least a fresh...
That depends on if you're going to be also watching Game of Thrones, Preacher, that sort of stuff.
At least this side of Superman we haven't seen before. It hasn't been explored.
That's
It's not really...
It's brand new, and totally uncharted territory.
It's interesting in terms of backstory for Superman's history and universe.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it really provides a lot outside of that. I mean, don't get me wrong, Kryptonians were arguably a colonizing race, so if you play on that aspect, you might have something.
I think if it's done right, we'll see.
I do want to touch on one other thing. Kind of deals with Krypton, but not the show Krypton.
All right.
Tom Welling,
yes,
who we know from Smallville,
mm-hmm.
was asked on a TV show recently, because he was talking about his new... a new movie he directed called Choices or something. Basically, it's like The Notebook 2, but it deals with... He's like, The Notebook deals with, like, the choice you make right now, what happens? Oh, yeah, everybody gets together. Well, what happens, like, 5 and 10 years down the road and those interactions? That was his new movie he was talking about, right?
Okay.
So in that, they were also talking about him being Superman on Smallville. How many seasons did it run and everything else? And they said, would you be willing to be... You know, the rumor is that they're possibly going to have you be Superman on Supergirl. Would you be willing to do that? And he said, yes. Now, up until that point, the rumor was he said no. I don't ever want to do that again or anything else. And here he is on, I don't know if it was like a Canadian National News or one of our stations. I'm not really sure. But he did say that, yes, he would be open to playing that role again.
That is something Supergirl has actually done kind of well. Like, it brought in the dude who did Lois and Clark as Superman. It brought in one of the other actresses from Smallville, who I believe plays Indigo.
She plays Indigo.
Yeah.
She played Supergirl
on Smallville.
And the lady who played Supergirl in the Supergirl movie actually is the mother.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they've done a lot of, like, little Easter egg-y cameo things, and that is something, like, as much as I dislike a lot of the writing on that show, it is kind of a nice little nod to older fans.
I think I would prefer, I wouldn't want to see him on Supergirl, per se. I think I'd rather see him on Flash, where the Flash ends up in the Smallville universe, so you can bring back more than just
Clark
essentially.
Okay.
Because I like Smallville so much, I would love to go back to Smallville, even if it's just for
one episode.
Yeah. So.
So if we could recreate anything we wanted to, we would actually have the Flash go to Smallville.
Yes. In the Smallville universe.
In the Smallville universe.
Yeah.
Where he teams up with Buffy.
Well, I don't know about
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right?
Is Buffy in the same universe as Smallville?
No, but it could be.
And he just has to keep picking people up.
And what they do is they solve the X-Files.
So what you're saying is you want to have the Flash be TV's Bill and Ted adventures.
Now basically what I just did was I just put all the shows we really liked over the years together in one group. So the Flash goes to Smallville to get Clark Kent.
No, because the entire time you're explaining this, I'm just thinking of Bill and Ted, like in that little phone booth, going through time, picking people up.
Yeah, I would rather see her hit the Flash in Smallville, sir. So
yeah,
or him pull somebody out, pull Clark into his universe.
Yeah, I think I'd rather see that because when you think about in the Smallville universe, we already had the Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I didn't like that version of the Flash.
He was all right.
I like this version way better. Although I will tell you what, in that episode of Smallville where
the Justice League form,
and they fucking walk in front of that fire, and you're like yes, even though Aquaman is retarded in that one, but regardless, it was still pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see. Briefly talk about Gotham.
Yep, getting much better, by the way.
Oh yeah, it's really picked up. This episode, you know, we get to see Freeze, and we get to see Lizard Hand Lady. And we find out Hugo Strange is the philosopher, and what who turn in, you know.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to know more about Gotham, turn into our other podcast, Gotham Watch.
Much more detail.
We go into great detail on that one.
But watch Gotham too, because it is getting better.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They're starting to right the ship.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the fan tweets and questions.
Woo!
All right, so every time we have an episode, we try to have questions or discussion topics brought to by the fans. Right, so we have two questions this week, or topics, if you will. The first one comes from, it's either Luc Benoit or Luc Benoit. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, right, because Facebook doesn't pronounce it for you. But he's from Facebook, one of the groups that we're in, or I'm in. He brought up, who won the Batman v Superman fight between Batman and Superman?
I'll let you take the lead on this one.
It's kind of hard to make the argument since Superman probably wasn't fighting full force in this scenario, or at least in the film scenario. But Batman, because he more or less has him at a point where he has the Krypton spear right above Superman. If you haven't seen the film. So he more or less is in a position where if he doesn't have his post-traumatic moment, he really could have just finished him off. That being said, had Superman gone into that fight more aggressively or, you know, with the intention of actually fighting, it could have been a completely different sort of thing.
Okay, Brian?
Physically, Batman. Morally, Superman. And that Batman ultimately got the best of Superman physically, but eventually, although be through the name of Martha, he does eventually get back. He gets through to Batman at the end.
Well, that's the most politically correct answer ever. So they both won?
Well, they
became two best
different
friends.
Two different points of view, yeah.
That's true. So. Okay, so this is the avenue that I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Superman won by far.
Okay.
Hands down.
All right.
Because, like Aaron said, Batman went in to kill Superman.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
That was the whole goal. That was his whole goal.
Mm-hmm.
Superman's whole goal was to go in and talk to Batman.
Get through to him.
Get through to him, be on his side.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Batman had tons of time to prep against Superman. He created the weapons. He had the whole rooftop rigged with guns. He planned all that.
Mm-hmm.
Superman came in not having done any kind of prep work because he's not that kind of person. He comes right into that situation like, hey, what's going on? And then he gets bombarded, right? Because Batman was plotting against him the whole time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So And my thought is that Batman lost. Because, even, I mean, even you even hear Lex Luthor say, I gave Bats as much of a chance as I could. He couldn't do it, so now the devil will do it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Basically, yeah. Like I said.
Because if he really wanted to, like Aaron said, if Superman came in full force, laser vision, cut off his head, done.
Yeah.
It game would have over.
Been over. Right. Well, I mean, depends on how quickly the laser vision works in that universe, but assumably it'd be a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure the armor was thick enough it was really going to save him from that.
Right, exactly. So,
at the same time, though, like, different mediums kind of project Superman's powers at different, to different degrees, so it's hard to say what it is in this particular movie universe.
Well, in that universe, he's pretty damn powerful. Like, yeah. It's obvious against the fight against
Doomsday.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, he's able to take on Doomsday, but not really easily by any means.
Mm-hmm. No, but take those kind of powers, what he was doing to Doomsday, and put it to Batman. Batman's toast.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then, so there's the first one. There's the first topic. So thank you for that. Second one is from Christian Brassfield over at thecomicsunited.com. So visit those guys. They have a blog website where they put out articles and stuff and news articles. So
okay.
Cool to check out. He wants to know what we think about Daredevil season 3 being canceled / put on hold. For the Defender series.
Wow. Yeah, especially after I just got done watching season 2 of Daredevil. Hold, fine. Canceled, no. Granted, we haven't seen all the characters yet for Defender. We still haven't seen Iron Fist, but wow, dear God, was Daredevil season 2 amazing.
Oh yeah.
In my opinion, it blew season 1 out of the water. The guy who plays Punisher, spoiler alerts, Punisher is in season 2. Fucking nailed it. I'll just say, all I can say to that is, hold, fine. I don't mind if hold, but yeah, there needs to be a season 3 of Daredevil.
But how long for a hold?
Well, I mean,
not very long.
Be honest, if you're running 2 to 3 Marvel shows a year, maybe 6 months, depending, maybe a year at best. Realistically, you could, after Defenders, do another season of, say, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Power Man, or even start introducing a few other characters that are kind of a bit more, you know, lower level, or, you know, not necessarily just, you know, saving the entire world or universe kind of thing. You could delay Daredevil for maybe a year or so, but to be honest, it seems like they're setting up Daredevil for a pretty big story arc. So I find it really hard to believe that they'd be holding it, you know, indefinitely or just canceling it, because it really is setting up for just a giant story arc for Daredevil season 3. And unless you might be able to tackle that to an extent within the Defenders series.
See, that's what I'm thinking, is that it may not be like a cancellation of Daredevil season 3, more so of Daredevil season 3 / Defenders season 2.
Mm.
You know, where they make Daredevil more of a focus of
maybe
the team.
I can really see that, but
it's a possibility. Kind of do kind of what the Iron or the Avengers films did for the actual film franchise, but at the same time, I'm not necessarily sure the story arc it's going with would necessarily fit itself best to like the Defenders.
I will say, thinking about it, in season 2 of Daredevil, because Punisher is in it and because another character is in it. They do definitely set Daredevil in
Electro.
In Electro, yeah. Spoiler alert, but
it's not a spoiler. She was on the trailer.
Okay, so they definitely give Daredevil the moral high ground.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give anything away, I'm just saying in season 2, they definitely develop that and show that he has some.
Kind of moral dilemma has been like the highlight of the show.
Yeah, compared to the, so I could see that him. I could see that element being placed into a leader of a group. So. As kind of the Superman of the group, per se, from a moral perspective.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's a possibility, but just looking at the storyline they're setting up, I'd like to think they're going to transition that into a Daredevil season 3 at some point. That being said, they have a lot of things they can really kind of throw into their Netflix shows, and a lot of characters that they can kind of, you know, expand upon. So, holding it, or, you know, delaying it, you know, for maybe 6 months to a year might be fine. Beyond that point, I'm not really sure how well that would work.
Okay. All right, so that was a good conversation topic. Thank you. So I just want to give a shout out right now to all the Twitter followers who's jumped on board for our Twitter Quest 2016.
Yes.
Our main page at 4 Midwest Guys is up above 1,000 finally. And then at AnkZone, AnkZone, is up over 2250 on my page.
Woo-hoo.
So if you want to reach out to us, Twitter is a good way to get a hold of us. So you can message myself or Willem Brink at
BWillie1977.
And on Facebook, facebook.com/number4MidwestGuys. You can email us, number4MidwestGuys @gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. We're now on YouTube. To a limited degree, I think we're trying to keep putting up YouTube videos. We've adjusted some of our stuff that was kind of getting flagged for copyright infringement, so we've kind of tweaked those a little bit. I think we might start putting up some videos of our podcast sessions here shortly.
We have a test.
I mean, that's our goal anyway, eventually, right?
Yeah.
To get a tall desk.
Yeah, get a tall desk to stand behind so we can see our talking heads. Other than that, you know, thanks, guys, for being a part of the show again. Episode 6 in the books.
Absolutely.
So, Brian.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Appreciate being on there, Aaron.
Yep, thanks, man.
And for me, Ankenbauer, we'll catch you next time.